Oh, hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 276. Woo! I am very lucky to have Mary Tess Rooney on the podcast. She is the founder and president of True Stride. Yes. Also, she has authored a book. Written, I should say. Written a book. Yes.
I like them both.
Yes, basically. Heart value feeling. Heart value. Feelings and appreciated in the ways and the matter of discovering your true stride. I can imagine. How are you today, m'lady?
Oh, I am so happy to be here. I'm doing great. I'm so excited to connect with your life warriors and just have a conversation.
Oh, a delightful like moment indeed. You know what? Like, I know you said like before we started, you left Comcast. Like, yeah, some almost five years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were there for a great chunk of time. Like,
16 years, 17 years, something like that.
I was going to say 5 years, but that's another story.
No, it's a good long time. So,
yeah, like you did a lot of development and growing in Comcast. What made you like go, yeah, what was that sort of epiphanal moment to like go, yeah, you know what? I'm done. And I want to do this.
Well, there's always like a bunch of pivotal moments that kind of accrue. And then you go like, oh, right, universe, I got it now. So it was interesting. I think part of my big aha moment was I had gotten married and then I got divorced. It didn't work out. And then all of a sudden when I was like in my late 30s and I'm looking at my life and I'm thinking, all right, the plan was to get married and have a family. And then when I got divorced, I had this, you know, executive role, a high-powered job that was very demanding. And in my mind, the vision was always, I will work as hard as I can to contribute to the family. But then after I have kids, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. That was my vision. And then when all of a sudden I'm in my late 30s and I'm getting a divorce and I'm like, oh my goodness, what if I don't have kids? Like, what if I don't have the family I envision? Do I still want the life I'm living? And that kind of question, it's like, no, I don't want to work this hard. I don't want to, you know, be in a role that's 24/7. I manage communications both in the employee side and also the external PR side. So, you know, press doesn't care what hour of the day it is. Like if you need to respond to something, it's, you know, you're just responding. And so it sort of just had me call into question, okay, well, if the life I envisioned for myself is not panning out the way I had hoped, then what is it that I do want? And how do I want to navigate my life from this point forward and make sure that I'm experiencing joy and I'm prioritizing fun and I'm doing all of the work that I know I can do, the value I can offer, but it's all coming from this heart-centered place of pleasing me as well as pleasing others.
Because like this is the thing, I know a number of people like you had like the job you were doing like you know what I mean in communications and like yeah people like oh yeah that's a great place to be, but like with regards to finding joy, would you say towards the end there was much joy, not, or was it a case of that was the absence of it was just the grind?
It was more of the grind. Yeah, I think that there were elements that brought me joy. Like I loved the people that I worked with. I made some lifelong lasting friendships. I mean, we grew up together. There's a lot of people that I still speak to and some of them are there and some of them have moved on as well. But, you know, when you grow up, you spend 16, 17 years in an organization, you make lifelong friendships. And so those were elements that I loved, but the company was growing, it was changing. You know, I was there when Ralph Roberts, the founder, you know, brought it. And then we had a number of acquisitions after acquisition. And so it really did, it expanded. And in the process, you sort of lost that family feel, right? So there was those of us that were around for a long time, and you kind of had that family environment. And then, you know, just like any company, when you grow that fast, there's also some people who didn't have that same Ralph Roberts experience of being part of that small company.
Yes, like yes, when the others come in, it's like yeah. Yes, it's like yeah. You remember when that happened? Yeah, yeah. Back, you mean the thing in 80? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What thing? You weren't here. Stop talking. So when you went, okay, this is it. I'm done. Dusted. Like, how did you work out how to get your true stride?
So I did a number of things when I realized that there was this disconnect in my heart and that I wanted to do some work that was more heart-centered and find that alignment. I kind of started to put some things in place. And so I went and got my coaching certificate. And so through the process of getting my coaching certificate, you know, you get coached in the process. And so I had all of these little aha moments of, okay, you know, I love helping people. I love helping individuals see what lights them up and then connect with it on a deeper level. I love giving individuals that are selling themselves short permission to like go big and go after it and give them the tools and just prompts and questions to really go a little bit deeper and discover what's meaningful to them. So it's like through doing my own self-discovery and really going inward, I started to be able to see the opportunities for other people and then challenge them. But I had to push myself and expand and get curious and go to this place of wonderment so that I could show up differently for other people that I now have the opportunity to work with or talk to and just explore.
Yeah, I hear you. But like I am quite fascinated and like this, why coaching? Because you could have done a myriad of things. You could have been like, yeah, you could have been a tree surgeon or like, yeah, you could have been like, yeah, doing a surf instructor, all manner of things. But like, yeah, what drew you to coaching?
Yeah, I love people. And I think that in my heart of hearts, I'm a teacher and a healer. Mm. And I say teacher because I have this God-given ability to, you know, understand something. I'm a student. I'm curious. And so it's like I need to break things down to its like baseline level. Mm-hmm. And then what I'm gifted in is taking that information and distilling it down for someone so that they can get it and like go, oh, okay. And I've done it throughout my life. Like I was a ski instructor. I'm a snowboard instructor. A yoga instructor. Like for me, I love kind of learning and then going, oh, all right, out of this content, what can I do to help someone else really experience that joy or experience that like aha moment. And I was good at it, right? Like even ski instructing, it's like you see someone and you're like, okay, like I can see where they're getting stuck or challenged and then just help them shift their perspective. Or sometimes it's just believe in themselves. I'm good at giving people confidence to say, hey, like you can do this. I know you can. So that idea of seeing people's potential and then giving them the tools and resources to get there. And then I add that healer part too, because sometimes one of the biggest challenges I see with individuals is them letting themselves be honest with themselves, right? It's like sometimes we put on these airs and we go like, oh no, I got this, or I'm strong, I don't need help. Or, you know, we've accepted these beliefs or these limiting beliefs, and then that becomes our external persona. But because I think I am like, I love people. And so I kind of, you know, can go, hey, like you can be honest with me and ultimately like honest with yourself, and it's okay. Like there's no judgment here. I don't care what you say. So for me, this idea of, yeah, I could have been a tree surgeon maybe, but I don't find trees as fascinating as I do people. And I just love that those moments where you see someone just reach a little bit further, if you can get them, or you know what, you know, yeah, I can take this bunny hill or whatever it is. I can hold this pose a little longer. It's like exciting for me, for them, for me to witness someone else's human growth or human expansion. And so that's been a pretty fun journey for me.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. And like when you bring up healing, like helping people heal, I think it's one of those things where a number of people, it's finding themselves, knowing themselves, and so they can heal themselves. So many people out there haven't really sort of spent time with themselves. They go, yeah. I sit in the room all by myself. But no, you've got a number of things distracting you, a phone, Netflix, like, and like basically day-to-day life drama. But they don't actually sort of go, yeah, what is going on with me? How can I become healthier, better as a whole, you know?
Yes, it's really true. And it's scary, right? Because there, again, there's all these external expectations that sometimes we go, okay, well, I have to be this type of father, or I have to be this type of person, or I need to be, you know, I need to show up this way at work. And so then sometimes we forget that we have more answers about ourselves inward and not externally. And so the big sort of opportunity is to go inward and to self-reflect and to say, okay, like I hear all the noise, I see all the distractions, but regardless of all of that, what feels right to me? Like what feels aligned? What feels off? Like where do I most feel like I'm in my true stride? Like when I hit it, do I take a moment and pause and go, man, that felt good. Like, how do I do that again? And sometimes I don't even think we do that.
Well, yeah, I think it's one of those things where we get caught up in the moment of doing. And when it comes down to it, like if it's a good or a great moment or a fantastic moment, like we don't revisit it because it's like you get caught up with the whole, yeah, oh, that was great. That was fantastic. It was like superb. Come on, let's go. But if it was a bad moment, it's the case of rather than sort of breaking down the elements and go, okay, this is what went wrong. Was I responsible for that? Maybe yes on some occasions, maybe no on others. But I think there is like such an emotional negative attachment to when people do go wrong that they don't actually, they can't, because they can't get that sort of distance or perspective from that moment. So they get caught up, and rather than sort of fixing it, they dwell in it, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes I think that it's, again, our ego gets involved, right? So was it a bad experience because it felt badly to us, or are we putting some type of expectation on ourselves? Like, all right, was I just a loser, or do people think I'm a loser because I did that, you know? So I think there, again, it's hard for us to separate that external versus internal emotional reaction or gut or intuitiveness. My mom growing up used to always laugh because I think that when this is something that I was always aware of, where I would go out and I'd go like, what do you think I should do? What do you think I should do? And I would sort of gather different perspectives. But then she always knew that I needed to go dark before I'd make a decision. And she would say like, oh, okay. She's finally stopped asking other people. And I would like literally kind of just get quiet and kind of go inward. And then I would come out and I'd go, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. And she would like chuckle because she'd go, okay. And then she always knew it was as good as done. But she said, I would take the longest time to make a decision on something. And then as soon as I made it, she's like, it would be like, boom. Like I would go, okay, 0 to 100, done. But that processing, I was a processor. And so I had to go, like, what does everyone else think about this? Because I don't know what I think about this. And then I would go, do I really care what other people think? Like, what do I think? And then I would have to go dark and like push myself away from the noise to get my answer.
And when you say go dark, is that playing dark scenarios of all of the things?
Oh, no.
Or is that, yeah.
No, I just meant like I would, you know, if somebody wanted to go hang out, I would say, oh no, I'm going to stay in and read a book. I just would sort of distance myself from activities and people and places that were stimulating, because I would go internally, like, I need quiet time. So dark to me is like just quiet, isolation, inward reflection.
I understand. No, like this is the thing, like in my sort, that sort type of thing for me, it's a case where I sort of run silent. Like, you know, I'm there, but like, yeah, I like, rather than sort of like, yes, interact like yourself, I'll run silent rather than say, yeah, process what I need to do. And that sort of process sometimes comes in the form of either running or exercise and then basically help me resolve that. But like one of the things I do like what you're doing with your coaching and everything like this, you're helping people sort of like, how can I say, push forward, like either like follow through with their dreams and like, yeah, take that sort of important step. Because like one of the things which I, it's an air of frustration when I see it happen. Someone will have a dream. They'll have an idea. They're, like, it can be grand or small. And like this is the thing, regardless of what it is, like I think a number of people, when it comes to, I don't know, when it kind of sort of starts to switch off, it might be in early 20s, mid 20s, or like get, as people get older, their dreams sort of not there or present. It's not a case of they die, it's just like people don't do it anymore.
Yeah. Right?
And when like people do have that dream and follow through with it, it's a great sign, and it brings me a little bit of joy because it means they're investing in themselves. Because we invest all the time in other people, in other activities, like damn, like sometimes BS which just makes no sense or brings any sort of real value, but you know what I mean, in the distraction, but you know, you know,
it's really cool. It's fun to watch. And I think you're right. The older we get, I almost think we get a little less brave. It's like, we're not as willing to try some new things, or, you know, it's scary, right? To do something completely different. And we've gotten into these rhythms and these patterns and we're comfortable, but it is a beautiful thing when you watch someone articulate their dream and it come from their heart, and then they pursue it and they go after it. And, you know, more times than not, sometimes what happens and we'll see is like someone goes through a health crisis and then they realize how fragile life is. And then they come out of that experience and they're like, okay, I'm going to do that thing, even though it scares me. And I have two friends that are breast cancer survivors, and they are basically in this like yes to life mode. And they're doing some really cool, fun things because they're like, you know what? Yes to life. Like, I've always wanted to do this. And so they're going after it. And I just love that. They recently just climbed Half Dome in Northern California, and they're just like, yes to life. Let's go. And so it's a beautiful thing to watch, but I love that switch when you see people and you go, no, like when I experienced it a couple of years ago when I always wanted a camper van. And so I have this vision of traveling across the US and going to national parks in the camper van. And I did it right before COVID. I bought the van, but you know, I like remember telling my mom, she was like, are you serious? Are you going to do this? And I'm like, yeah. And she was sort of like, well, you know, do you think now's the right time? And I'm like, if not now, when? Like, there's never going to be an ideal time. So sometimes you just got to like buck up, do the vision, go for it, and have some fun and see where it lands you. And what's the worst that happens? If you don't enjoy it, or if it doesn't pan out the way you want, then you make a different choice and take a different action.
Yeah. But at least, you know, at least, you know, like, because this is the thing. I say perfection is the ally to procrastination. Because like, I think there are too many people I'll start a business when like the perfect conditions are here. I'll go on that holiday when the perfect time is here. I'll do like so many things are just put off because they has to be perfect. Nothing is perfect. Perfection is an illusion. It's a myth. You can like, when you go, yeah, that was the perfect moment. Unfortunately, you have to, when you say that, it always comes in the realm of 2020 hindsight.
Yeah.
Not while you're in that moment, you know?
Yeah.
And you, well, you mentioned, yeah, the pandemic. Yeah, I think, like, would you say this? You mentioned your two friends. I'm like sort of bouncing off on one. Your two friends who had like breast cancer survivors, thankfully, having that appreciation for life. Is it a case of people are more with it when they can act upon something straight away? Because we all went through that sort of moment, but like there was a period of time, depending where you were in the world, you can act on it straight away. Like, oh yes, oh my God, this life-changing moment. But everyone through the pandemic couldn't like, oh yes, I must, you couldn't travel. I'm going to, couldn't go to the gym, or I can, you couldn't meet up with people to go to an art museum or whatnot. Is it a case of you have that moment and acting immediately makes more of the difference, or people hold on to it in your experience?
I think where I've seen people be really successful is if they hold on to the feeling that that's going to create, right? So for myself, I always think about, all right, it's not just, national parks. It's what's the feeling I'm trying to create? And it's like, I want that sense of freedom. I want that sense of wonderment. I love outdoors. I love, physical adventures. And so it's all about, can you hold on to that feeling that you're creating? And that was, I would say, challenging through the pandemic, right? I mean, everybody was in a different sort of mode, but everyone also had the opportunity to slow down and be with their thoughts a little bit more, go with their heart a little bit more. And so if they grabbed onto that feeling, I know people that definitely miss travel. And as soon as, the airlines opened up, it was like they were on a flight to, and they didn't even care where. It was like that feeling that they got of adventure or exploring or appreciating all walks of life and different cultures. And so, but I think there's that mindset thing. Like, are you logically saying this is what I want, or is it coming from your heart and a feeling state that you want to experience?
Yeah, I've like the power of the mind is one of those things where I don't think people real like it's one of those sort of fundamental like forces of nature, your mindset. People don't realize how powerful it can be in either like bringing success or changing your perspective. Because one of the things like off you quite I quite often hear is, you know, I'm stuck in a dead end job and I'm not actually getting anywhere. I'm like, I want a change, and like this is the thing, they change from that job and they like get to a new job and they're like, I'm stuck in a dead end job. What I would simply like this, it's taken me a little bit of time to get to this journey over the course of years. It's I see it as maybe it's not a dead end job, but it's a dead end mindset rather than that. And if you can change your mindset, you can then see the opportunity a job provides in the realm of being able to invest in yourself or help you grow.
It's very true. It's the what you focus on becomes your reality. And I was just on someone else's podcast, and the story came up about when I was in a job and I was frustrated because the manager and I didn't have this energetic and emotional connection. And so I felt unfulfilled because I didn't feel appreciated. And so, in that mindset, I was like, wow, why am I working so hard? And I felt invisible. And then when I kind of took a couple steps back, I was like, well, you need this job. And there was other things going on in my life. So I was not going to change roles. And so, all right, well, then you're choosing to stay here. So if I'm choosing to stay here, what's the mindset or what is it that I can do to feel elevated and to experience joy in other aspects of my life? And so I decided to run a marathon. Like, I was like, you know what? Like, she doesn't expect as much from me. So I can leave at a decent hour and I can come in at a decent hour and I'm still doing my job and I'm still getting paid. And so this job is going to afford me to train for my first marathon. And it did. And all of a sudden, when I had, something else where I felt fulfilled and I felt like I was investing in myself, and then the job became less important. Like, I didn't really care about the fact that the manager didn't really see me or care about me as a human. I was like, all right, like this serves my purpose. Like, for right now, this is the right thing for me. And the woman that I was speaking to, she was like, oh my God, it's so interesting because I've been grappling with the same thing where she has a pretty good cozy job and she loves to like learn and be challenged. But so she kept thinking like, I think I need to change. And where she kind of came back to was, no, right now I can like be with my family. Like, so I think you're right. It's all about mindset and where we are and what we want to expose ourselves to. And that's like about energy. And then can we put our energy in things that are going to be a good return on investment and stop wasting our energy in things to say like, this is a dead end job. If we keep putting all the energy in a job that we've already acknowledged is dead end for us, then shame on us. But if we can say, okay, like this job is clearly serving a purpose for right now, and I'm going to take that energy that I would use to complain about it, and I'm going to put it towards something else, then what could like grow or prosper in that environment? And I think it's just a pretty cool question to ask ourselves.
Yeah. When you have people coming to you, like how many people like would you say actually ask that question, or do they know that's the question they want to ask themselves, how they can put that their energy into a new like place, or are they kind of still trying to find their way in the dark, let's just say?
So I think they come, I'd like to meet them wherever they are, exactly as they are, because they're perfect. Like they are perfectly positioned in their journey wherever they are. But it's interesting to see, like, you know, one individual comes to mind that was in this downward spiral mindset. And so I said, well, what is it that you want? You know, and when he came back and he had, you know, bullets of what he wanted, it was all the things he didn't want. And so I said, like, okay, this is awesome. Like you have clarity on what you don't want in your life. Now take those, what you don't want, and flip them and turn them into positives. Like, okay, if you don't want to feel fatigued, then, you know, you want to feel energized. And then what are the choices that you can make to feel more energy? And so we just, it's like this exercise of shifting our mindset, but we so often get trained and we have this pattern of, you know, what type of, are we in a negative mind frame or are we in a, you know, positive can do, and how do we shift that energy? Because at the end of the day, we all want to feel joy, right? We want to experience more fun and have more laughs. But some of us, it just, you know, we can be in that funk and we can go, all right, I need to shift my energy. And what are the things that will help me do that?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think one of the things of the human condition, just from its survival standpoint, is it picks up on the negative far too easy. Yeah. Because I could say a million and one positive things about people. And as soon as I say the one negative thing,
yeah,
that's the thing what lingers in people's minds. And yeah, that's when you normally get the greatest pushback, because you can put out positive things into the world and you don't really like get that back to you. It'll go out a long way. And you might get a person one day, a friend, member of a family, or like, yes, a complete stranger who might come across your material and go, thank you very much for what you've done. You're like, oh, great.
Yeah. Well, and we don't believe it as much, right? I mean, it's like even on social media, I had a friend who just started being vulnerable on social media and I'm so proud of her. And she is sharing what lights her up. But it's like she had like 100 comments that were all like, way to go, thank you, needed to hear this. And then she got, you know, a hater.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she was like, okay, I'm just calling to talk about this. And then I'm going to delete it because I know, you know, I need to focus on the big picture. But, you know, those things, they hurt, right? We're still human. And so anytime we have that negative sort of exposure, it is going to like affect our energy. But then, you know, to your point, like if we can kind of go back and recenter and say, well, okay, let's look at all the good that's happening, or let's look at, you know, what this opportunity offers outside of that negative thing, then it's a beautiful thing. But you're right. We are hypersensitive to the negative, because that's how I think a lot of us were trained or raised to pay attention.
Well, yeah, that basically, yes. I don't think like, the optimist, like, oh, look, there's a tiger over there. Back in the day, there's like, come on, let's play, Mr. Tiger. Ah, they're gone.
Nice tiger, nice kitty cat.
Don't lick your lips like that. Don't in the distance. Run, you fool, run.
My sister, actually, I don't know why I think this story is funny all of a sudden, but it's like the she had a gecko in her house, which is like a little lizard. It's like a Florida lizard.
Oh, yeah.
And but they're little. And anyway, she is like not a fan of them, and it was in her bedroom. And so she, I don't mind, you know, safely removing them, but I was cracking up because I like took a piece of Tupperware and I put it over the gecko and was like, but at the whole time I'm talking about it, I'm like, I'm trying to save your life. I'm trying to save your life. And I like put a piece of paper so I could take it outside. But it's like, I'm was in that moment trying to create energy so it didn't fear me, that it didn't run from me. And it didn't like try and, you know, bite me or anything. I just was like, I am here for good forces. Like, come on, let's go. And I got it outside. But it, you know, I do think energy is so powerful that, you know, even if you can't communicate with something, they do, they feel and sense our energy and what our intentions are. And animals, people, I think they're all the same.
No, I agree. But like, I just see this gecko just like giving you the like, side eye. It's like, hey, lady.
Yeah, I know.
Your sister's like,
she's like, I don't care what you do, just get it out of the house.
Like, you know, you, like, to tease her, you should just wear a t-shirt with a gecko on it.
Nice Christmas present, right? Like, hey, yeah.
Or get a gecko brooch. But that's I wouldn't do that. No, yes, I would.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, but yeah. But like, yeah, when like with regards to like sort of like, I think also with regards to energy, I think people also forget about the power of consistency. It's one of those things where consistency is our sort of silent passenger, but it is one of the things which, how can I put it? It's one of those things which is the lightning rod of, yeah, how your life can turn out. If you do consistent negative things will always come your way. Randomly, yeah, you might get a good thing what will come your way, but fundamentally, you're going down a negative path. If you do positive things, same thing. Positive things will generally come your way. Yeah. And like a negative thing will come along, but yeah, it's all part of the game of life. But people forget, like, yeah, if you are consistent at doing one thing or like something you really truly believe in, great things can come from that. And just people don't sort of like realize tapping into it can make such a difference to their lives.
Yeah, I think it's true. Have you seen that personally for yourself?
Like, basically, it's one of those things where you kind of live in the moment. And when you kind of look back at, yeah, when life has been going sort of down, not a self-destructive, not, I really haven't had that sort of like, self-destructive path where it's like, I'm doing a pound of cocaine. And like, yeah, and I said, yeah. Like singing the lines of hookers and blow, hookers and blow. No, that hasn't been me. But like when it's been like, yes, when my life has not been going the way I wanted it, like, yeah, there was a time where it would be a case of I would blame everything else and everyone else for that going on. But like, this is the thing in the equation of life. Like, yeah, I am that consistent. I am the constant in that equation. Yeah. When it comes to my life. So if happens once, okay, that can be twice, okay, three times, four, five, six, seven, eight. You're like going, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not them who's the problem. Maybe it's me. So taking responsibility for myself and my actions, it's one of those things. It was like, it's a lesson. Once like hard learned through the sort of realms of stubbornness and just being like, yeah, short, as you say, you know?
Yeah. No, it's cool. I think it's really true. I think it's always funny to me, thinking about when someone triggers me and, you kind of go like, huh, all right. Like, aside from whatever they just did, why does that bother me? Like, what inside of me is going on that needs to be healed? Like, because I think almost when we get those reactions from people, or if we find ourselves like in that situation where we have the same situation happening over and over again,
Yes.
generally it's like we have something that we need to heal in ourselves. And so how do we focus on that? Because we'll keep attracting that same thing until we heal it. And the same thing what you just said about, if we are in this positive, consistent mode, then energy attracts that like energy, right? And so we're going to keep getting more positive. But if we're in that negative, then yeah, that's what we're communicating. Like, the universe is super powerful and it is all listening. And so if we, thoughts are things, if we put it out there, like, okay, like, I don't want to get in an accident. I don't want to get in an accident. I mean, the universe only hears like, oh, you want an accident? Are you asking for an accident? And so it's like, okay, how do we shift that and say, okay, like, I'm so excited to be there on time, and the parking angels are gonna have a spot right up front. It's like just constantly asking ourselves, what is it? How do we really want to create, and how do we want to show up, and how do we want to invite in all of the good? And like you said, take ownership or accountability for the things where when something's off and we know it. But how do we look in the mirror and go, all right, what is it about this situation, or what is it about this occurrence that is creating dis-ease in myself? And how do I figure out how to release that in myself? Because I can't control anyone else, but I can certainly control my response, or I can control like why I got triggered by that.
Yes, the triggering. Like, I have to ask, like, when was the last time you were triggered, and what was that trigger?
Ooh, that's a good question. Do you know the last time you were triggered? Let me think about this.
Yeah. I don't know that I remember the last time I was triggered. And yes.
Do you want to share it?
Yeah, certainly. I basically, yeah, I was like, I left work and I was walking to get to at Marylebone Station. And like, yes, just walking down the street, trying to get there as quickly as possible. This random stranger, I don't know who he was, what he was, but he, yeah, how can I put it? He would start, for whatever reason, decided I was the person to like racial slurs. I just was like, okay. I was like, okay. Rather than sort of like, okay, yeah, whatever, buddy. It's like, am I like back was up and was like, what is your, it was said. And yeah, I was like, had to sort of check myself and go, wait a second, why am I wasting my time with this stranger? Giving this energy to this stranger, who I don't know if he was like mentally deranged or whatnot, but it was just like, no, I've got better things to do. And yeah, if he's like this with me, who knows what he might do, you know?
A little cray cray, and energy you don't want to be around or even associate or keep in your sphere. So it is, it's those moments are they're intense, but then it is nice when you can kind of check yourself, like you said, and make a different choice for yourself. And sort of also breathe through that, but also know, like, those things, they hurt, right? I mean, it's you were triggered because there's hurt there. And almost like, okay, like, how do I need to like continue to release that and not let his negative energy affect my day, like, or affect my mindset? Because none of the things that they're saying are true, for you, right? It's like our space. I think the last time I was triggered was I get triggered because I was a people pleaser for a long time, and
Okay.
so I got into this habit of like doing for others, feeling like I should always be of service. And so sometimes I would bite off more than I can chew to be like, oh yeah, you know, you need help with this? Yes, I'm going to be there and I'm going to do it. And then sometimes like I would end up running myself down and getting sick in the process. And then the trigger part too would be if they didn't really appreciate it. So here I am like in my mind, killing myself, going out of my way, really going above and beyond. And yet, you know, it's not really appreciated. And so that lesson, I think I kept attracting because I needed to be able to say no to people. And I needed to be able to go like, you know, I would love to help you, but I have some things going on and I know you're going to figure that out just perfectly. It's going to work out perfectly for you. Like I'm not the one who needs to help everyone else. I don't, you know, do I enjoy that role sometimes? Yes. But can I be at choice with it and not always think that that's my responsibility? It's not my responsibility to take care of everyone else. It's my responsibility to take care of myself. And if I'm ignoring that, if I'm not putting myself first, then there's missed opportunities for me. So I can get easily triggered with that habit that I've created for myself and that mindset and trying to like always like push pull, like, is this an opportunity I'm saying yes to because I really want to say yes? Or is this an opportunity I am about to say yes to because it's old pattern that I have and that I might be disappointed because it's not going to turn out the way I want because I'm not saying yes for the right reasons, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. No, it's one of those things where, yeah, I've seen people who have been people pleasers and like, you know what I mean? It's a very hard thing to break. I think a number of different people's patterns are very difficult to break, and being aware of that is a tricky thing indeed.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So reprogramming yourself, getting like new patterns and like taking yourself down new paths. Like,
yeah.
So because like going from being a people pleaser to like, did you like, was it a case of you became a very sort of different person, or like, is that still, well, you know, I know it's still there in some respects, but yeah, the person you are now, you've evolved into, like, and evolving to, what, like, how are they different to the person you were then, now, and how do you think you're going? Do you have an idea where you might be going in the future?
So, I feel like I'm the same person, but I think I'm getting stronger with self-care. And I think that I'm getting, I'm not as apologetic about being me. Like typically in the past, right? If I couldn't help someone out for whatever reason, I would say, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't help you. And I really would like generally go like, wow, I feel like I let you down. And it took me a long time to go, why are you apologizing for that? Like, you know, they're in control of their life and they're, you know, they can take care of themselves. Why do I think that I can do it better? Or I think that I'm supposed to be owning that. I think that if you would ask some of the people that I'm saying no to, like they would be like, wait, what's that? Wait, you always like, you're my go-to, you know? So I think what has changed is that there are some people in my life that aren't used to me not agreeing to be that caregiver or that caretaker or that role very easily, right? And, or setting healthy boundaries. They're like, wait a second, what do you mean? And so that's a funny dynamic that is still working itself out. You know, like there are definitely some people that are still like shocked, like, oh, wait, Mare's not doing that? What do you mean? Like she's always game for that. So that's hard for me. Like I almost have to like sit on my hands and be like, just keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut, you know, because it's like I'm still fighting that old pattern. And what I hope I evolve into is just that I continue to be more comfortable and be more confident about saying no if it doesn't feel aligned. And knowing in reality, everyone that really loves me, they want me to take care of myself. So it's not that they don't want that for me too, because they have my back, but it's just, it's a new muscle that they're watching me exercise. And it's a new muscle that they're like, oh, all right, well, if Mare's not going to help, well, then I got to figure out how I am going to get this done. you know? So it's all these shifting perspectives that are still playing out.
Okay. Look, I'll push back slightly and say, yeah, if I was speaking to you, like, oh, just when you were leaving, like, your corporate job, you would be a very different person to who you are having this conversation
with. Oh, yes. That is a very true statement. Yes.
Like, this is the thing. You have evolved. You have grown. You have changed. Many different ways. Hey, I've got to say, I like who I'm talking to right now. I'm sure I like who I would be talking to back then. But exciting things, I think, are ahead for you,
I think exciting things for both of us. So it is pretty fun, isn't it? Just getting out there and doing things that light us up and evolving.
I think when in the act of doing, you can be more. Like, if you're like the thing I think many people fall short of, they'll go, okay, I'm going to do this, but they don't actually go out there and do something. I'm not saying like do something extreme, but do something different to what they normally would do. Do something which can maybe help them grow and develop, because when you're doing more, you can be more. When you be more, you can do more. And it's just one of those things where you can grow like exponentially until the day you shuffle off this mortal coil. And I just don't think enough people believe in it or take advantage of it, you know?
Yeah. I've heard you say that before, the do more, be more. And I love it because it's really just about trying new muscles, right? And because that's how we, again, drop into our heart to go, all right, I just did that. Did I like it? Do I want to do it again? Or eek, I did not like that. We can check that one off the list. But, you know, we can't go inward. We don't have that emotional response as readily if we're just sitting on the couch and like speculating and go, this might be an opportunity. You know, it's like once you get into that mode and you actually take action, then you're like, oh, hell yes or hell no. You know, and then you can attract more of that. And then you attract more people that are of that same mindset. Like I, recently I signed up for a race. I took a sort of a sabbatical from running. I just was like, okay, like wasn't in the groove the way I wanted. I still was walking actively, but I just wasn't running the way I used to. And then I signed up for a September 11th run. It's a Stephen Siller. It's a one that's very meaningful to me because of the way they put it on and they honor all of the fallen heroes for September 11th. And so I was like, I'm doing this race. I didn't know anyone at that race, but I showed up and I ran the whole thing. It was 5 miles or 5K, 3 miles, sorry. But I was so energized by, and I thought, God, why did you stop running? You love running. Like, and it was just this moment that I had where I said, thank God I said yes to this race. And then I went home and I joined the local running club. And now I have people to run with, you know, 2 to 3 times a week. And we signed up for, I have 3 more races I just signed up for. And I'm back in that mode. But if I didn't do, right, if I didn't take up that opportunity to do that race that has always been meaningful to me, I wouldn't have recalled how much it meant to me. And then it wouldn't have motivated me to join the running club. And now I'm like, I'm psyched because I just am exposed to so many other walks of life and people doing things that I love and that I have now some partners in crime to do too. So.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. Yes. Birds of a feather will flock together. Bringing them together. Yeah. No, I'm liking that. Like you mentioned you've done a marathon. How many marathons have you done, or is it just the one, or are you one of these people which have done 100?
No, I did 2. So I trained for 4 and successfully did 2.
Okay. Did 4, but did 2. So what brought that 50% success rate?
So the first time I trained for a marathon, I was didn't take it seriously enough. And so I didn't follow like the suggested 20-week plan with the mileage increases. I was a novice, and so I ended up getting like injured probably right after that, like that 13-mile mark. So I didn't like get over the 13 miles. And then the second time I was going to run, I took all of the training to heart, and I was running super fast for me and had completed everything, like did my 20 miler, which was like this beautiful, I was out in California at the time. I ran like San Francisco to Tiburon. And so I was in really good shape. And I was running Anchorage, Alaska Marathon. Wow. And then I got cocky and I played this co-ed soccer league. And like everyone had told me like, Mary, you're like 2 weeks away from the run. What are you doing going to play co-ed soccer? And I'm like, oh, I'll be fine. Like, and I, of course, got injured and tore my navicular. And so I had to have surgery on my foot. And so that time it's like, you know, I'm like the Goldilocks bear. The first time I didn't take it seriously enough. Second time I clearly was serious, but then, you know, got too cocky. And so then the third and fourth times, it's like I understood what I needed to do, what I needed to say yes to, and what I needed to say no to in order to achieve my goal.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, what were your times in your marathon?
So I was, I think around 5 hours, a little under 5 hours. So 4 hours and 40 minutes, somewhere around there, or 4 hours and 50 minutes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Now, yeah. I ran a marathon for the first time this year myself.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was it? And what was your time?
My time was 5 hours and 23 minutes. I was expecting to do it in 5 hours at 30 minutes, but I was like, yeah.
Well done.
So, yeah. But I got to say, with regards to my preparation to it, like, I've run marathon distances before, just out and about. But yeah. I sort of go through a period where I run a lot, and I don't run hardly at all. Hit the gym, lifting weights, everything like this. So I revisit running, and it's like, okay. Because this year, I was like, yeah. I did, I don't know if you know a chap called David Goggins.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I did the 4:04:48.
Nice.
Yeah, I did it in the UK. My friend Colin, he was in, like, he lives in China. So we were both doing it at the same time. Nice. But, like, yeah, the time difference, it was like, okay. So out and about. So I was like, yeah, I did that. I was like, okay. Then I didn't really run again until sort of May, and then my friend was like, oh yeah, can get you a place in the London Marathon. I was like, oh, okay. So
wow,
yeah, did a half marathon end of June. Oh, I paid the price in that, because I've got my Garmin set up to do like 4 mile, like every 4 mile that's a lap, and
yeah.
I knew what the time was. I doing this half marathon, normally I would run 4 miles in around about 45 minutes to 50 minutes, just like trundle, 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 trundle.
Yeah.
On this half marathon, because I got excited and I was competing against people who did not know I was competing against them. Carmen went, yes, you, like, lap one, 39 minutes. I was like, I was like, oh no, I've fucked up. I'm gonna get myself into trouble right now. So it's like, yeah, first lap, plus I had a hoodie on,
and yeah,
it started out being a cool day, then it became a warm day, so I take off the hoodie, and like, yeah, by the time I got to the end of it, like, yeah, the last 400 meters, cramping both legs. Run for 20 meters, walk for the run for 20 meters, got across the line. And like the fastest time I did a half marathon at that moment in time was like, yeah, an hour, like, no, sorry, it was like 2 hours 20 or something like that. I was like, okay, yeah, great. I was going to walk back home. I had to call my lady to pick me up. It's like, shambolic. If you saw me, you would be like, put that guy out of his misery. It's like, right to rain, sitting on the park bench. It's like,
But that's an aggressive training. I mean, to do like you just started in May and then June, you're doing a half marathon. Like, that's not a big ramp up either. So, I
Hey,
mean,
no, but thankfully it was a great bit of experience because rather than sort of like going, okay, let me go with other people and like,
yeah.
oh yeah, don't run the imaginary race competition in my head against
Yep.
others. Run the race I need to run
Yeah.
myself. Just stick in that moment rather than getting caught up with everything. But
Yeah.
by the time I got to like the second to last training run, did a half marathon again in a faster time, but I was much better off. Like yeah, I could do my like my last big run, the 20 miler before like the London Marathon. I was like, yeah,
Yeah.
it's like it's great. But yeah,
It is nice to build confidence, isn't it? I mean, you really do learn so much about yourself in the training process and when, and like, you know, n just learning to run your own race. Like, I mean, that's such a huge concept because we all do that, right? You get to the start and there's energy and people are psyched and you're like, okay. And, you know, it's like you kind of go, no, like this is my pace. This is where I feel my best. And learning to not follow the pack, to follow your own inner compass and run the race your way according to your rules. It's
Yeah,
cool.
like this is the thing. In a very physical way, I was running like if I was keeping up with the Joneses, if you get what I mean. And with like with that, I think it's a case of I think a number of people do that, not put the running aside, but in other things in life, because they do the whole comparison. Am I going at the same pace? Like I should be ahead. I should be doing this. And like because they haven't put in the reps sometimes for a certain task or a sort of new situation, they end up wrecking themselves at somewhat like how I did. On the race.
Yeah.
And by the time they've actually come to that, like, this is the thing. The problem is when they do that in other aspects of life, there is sometimes not a clear defined finishing line. So it can
Yeah.
be a very long time before they realize I need to stop this and take that breath, you know?
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. But like this, yeah. You got me going off on a rant. You've got me monologuing, you dog.
I like it. I like it. I think your life warriors like it too.
Hey, but yeah, I have to ask now, what made you decide to write a book?
I just felt called to do it. It was one of those things. I think while I was in working in corporate America, I used to like write a lot in my job, but it was very technical writing, if you want. You know, it's like you're writing these communications for leaders or you're writing messages and generally it's not in my own voice. And so on the side, sometimes I would journal and I would write and I would also document like, oh, this could be an interesting book idea. And so I think for a long time I've known that I had a book in me and I wasn't exactly sure what the book idea was. And then as I was, you know, leaving corporate America, preparing, one of the things I noticed and became keenly aware of is how often, you know, valuable people are overlooked, ignored, or outmaneuvered by more politically savvy people, and that they don't get the praise and the recognition that they deserve. And for me, when I started to write that book about voicing your value and getting the credit and recognition that you deserve, it just kind of felt a little like emotionally flat to me. It didn't necessarily like light me up. And as I was talking to a developmental editor that I was working with, it's like I kept saying, like, no, I want people to feel appreciated in ways that matter. And I want them to like go after the joy, like share value that brings them joy. And so I kind of had to like work really hard at creating this arc of a story where, you know, you deserve to be recognized and rewarded for the work that you do, right? And that's the external component of it. And that is valuable in our society for a lot of different reasons, right? You want the promotions, you want the awards, whatever it is. But More importantly, I also wanted to say, you know what? You can get that external praise, but you also can get like that self-fulfilling excitement and joy internally that you know. So it's like you deserve this and that, right? You don't, and the two can mutually exist. So I kind of wanted to bridge this idea of value, not just from how other people perceive you, but how it's connected to your heart and that energetic and emotional connection to what lights you up. And then that book just, it like when I finally was like, yeah, that's it. Like, you know, it's not just, I want to share value that lights me up and is of service to others. Like that's the magic combo. Forget everything else. Forget everything that I was doing to people please. That's a waste of time because I deserve to please myself. And so that's like, that is a fulfilled life right there. And so as soon as I figured that out, then the book, it wrote itself. And I love it. It's a great journey about my stories and also stories of other people that I connected with and how, you know, each of us, when we go inward and we really think about what matters to us and what we want more of, then we can feel it and we can make choices and we can take action to bring that into our life. And it's not going to be immediate gratification all the time, but I kid you not, I've seen it time and time again. If you like just chip away at it and you go, okay, this is one thing, this is one step I can take that is going to get me closer to that feeling goal that I have. And guess what? Like that generates momentum. It's just like running in life, right? It's that you get your stride on and the more and more steps you take, you're like, okay, I'm in my groove and now I'm unstoppable. And now I see the finish line and I'm going to get there. And I have all these people cheering me on because they're excited because I'm going to do more, be more. Like that's magic.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And like, this is the thing.
Can you tell I get excited about it?
I know. Like, like this is the thing. It's good that you get excited. It's good. It fires you up. It's great. It provides passion for you because like, this is the thing. Like, yes, you are you're providing service for others through your book. But like the whole point is like, I think with regards to a lot of people, like providing service for themselves, like basically it's one of those things. Well, it's one of those things with regards to like, yeah, getting that sort of like getting props, getting like sort of that found respect. It's always a very hard thing for people to get on a daily basis because there are many a person which will like, oh yeah, I've done all this hard work, but I don't deserve it. Or, they don't actually see the value they've provided because they just either see it as a job or it was a case of right. Yeah. So because they don't see that value, they don't actually see value sometimes in themselves. It's a really sort of weird place sometimes people can go to. And if you're providing a book which can help provide help people see value in themselves. So whatever they do in that task they take on,
yeah,
bam, growth can happen in a major way. New things can be achieved in a major way. And look, hey, you sit here, like, yes, author. I have to ask, like, how long did it take you to get the book together? Because I've heard some people say a crazy short time, and I've heard some people say a crazy long time with regards to books. How long did it take?
So I would say it was like a year of like concentrated effort, but I probably was playing with the idea for 2.5-3 years before. So it kind of was like, okay, here's the idea. And I would jot down a thought, but I wanted to make sure that all the concepts tied together. So I would play with them and I would say things like at one point, you know, I was trying to say, how do I express this idea of heart value? I didn't have a name for it. Right. And so at one point I think I named it like Valkind, because I was like, you know, it's like Valkind, but I couldn't get people to like wrap their head around it. So I had a lot of like trial and error when I was working with different coaching clients. I would try some things out and I'd go like, nah, that landed or ah, that didn't. And so it wasn't just about writing the book. It was making sure that everything that I was putting in the book was applicable and that people could access it and then implement it in whatever way that it resonated with them. And so I would say probably 3 years for me of testing and trialing and then documenting it and then putting it together in a way that it's a self-led journey. So at the end of each chapter, you have exercises and you have self-reflection questions that you can answer for yourself. And so you read the stories in that chapter, and then you have opportunity to apply some of the tools and strategies that I've used successfully with other people. So for me, it was not just about writing the book. It was about writing it in a way where people, they don't need me because they are the heart value expert on them. You know, they just need to go inward. And so that's how I set the book up.
Fantastic. 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Now, I'm interested to know, like, when you came out with the book and you told, like, people around you, friends, family, everything like that, did people's perspective of you, like, shift or change, or did they just hold you in the same regard?
So that's a good question. I think that they were, like, I think some people were surprised that, you know, the book was vulnerable. I share some things about myself that, you know, people were like, okay, well, you know, I knew you you went through a divorce. I didn't know you had a miscarriage. I'm sorry about that. You know, and so I just shared some different experiences that I call expansion experiences. And so I think some individuals were just surprised at how vulnerable I was willing to be to be an example and to be willing to connect with people on that deeper level. And I, funnily enough, there were people that read some of the stories and all of the names are changed in the book, but I had many people that called me and they'd be like, am I Nora? I just want to know, like, am I Nora or am I Eva? You know? And then you like laugh and I'm like, okay, well, it's kind of cool that there's like 20 people that I know that all think that they're Nora. Like, that's fun for me because the stories are so relatable. And so for me, it was a lot of people just kind of, you know, shifting perspectives on, okay, like this really applied to me. And I actually took some action out of it. So our relationship changed, the dynamic changed of the conversations that we were having, but I don't know if their opinion of me changed or perspective, but certainly there's been a shift and it's been kind of fun to watch. Mm. Yeah.
I see.
Did that answer your question?
No, it gives me like some insight because like the whole thing is like when people often do something which isn't sort of typically what your peers consider the norm, what that goal they've sort of built for you is, and when someone does something positive, it's like I've written a book, or I've started a blog, or I've lost 50 pounds. It's always interests me how people around you sort of like, okay. So like, and it's really weird because people like go, oh yeah, it's always positive. And when I hear that, I go, no, it's not. No. It's like, because like the reason why I go, no, it's not, and I don't mean this in a bad and negative way about people around you or anything like this.
Yeah.
But when I say people around you, I'm talking about everyone out there. It's the spotlight of what you're doing. It's not a case of it's on you. It's the case of it highlights stuff they not doing. Like unfulfilled dreams they're not going for. And it's one of those things where you kind of like, you get that sort of like, eh. It's like, oh, great. And which I always find fascinating. And when you've got people like, you did a book, fantastic. You are amazing. Great. I knew it was in you. It's like, you know, you're kind of like, why didn't you say this to me? Like, 5 years ago, when I really need it. It's like, but you know, it's all of these things wrapped up in a lovely bow sometimes, and maybe not so lovely in other times.
It's so true. Yeah.
Now, I am curious, like, because look, like you sit there with your marvelous microphone, your delightful headphones, and yes, and yeah, you podcast away as well. Like, yeah, what got you into the podcasting game?
So, when I was knew I was going to write the book and publish it, and all of a sudden, when I worked in corporate America, I was a company spokesperson, and so I didn't really have a social media following. I wasn't really active, and so all of a sudden, it's like, okay, I'm going to publish this book, but I have been dark on social media or out there, and so I'm like, I need for people to get to know me and for me to get my message out there, and podcasting just seemed very accessible to me. Like it was like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. It's scary as all get out, as far as I was concerned when I was starting, but it felt right. And so I was like, okay, let me talk to some of my friends that have experience. You know, I had a friend in radio. I had some other friends that did it successfully. And I just was like, you know, what are the things that I need to know? And they're like, okay, well, tell me who are the podcasters that you really like. And so for me, when I like looked at it, it's like, you know, I care about sound quality. Like there are some podcasters out there that have awesome content, but if their mic is skipping out or whatever, it's very distracting for me. So I kind of listed out the criteria of what experience I wanted to create for my listeners, which I call Striders. And then I got some coaching and some guidance. And so then I went for it. And it's been such a epic like journey because I've learned so much about myself in the process. And each week I ask these self-reflecting questions. But what has happened as like a sort of happy result is that so I'm constantly asking myself these questions, right? And I'm constantly looking at these opportunities and these conversations that I have with people, and I'm like, oh, you know what? That's a great topic for, you know, another episode. And so I love that real life just provides these opportunities for us to kind of dig a little deeper and self-reflect and see how we feel about something and then figure out our choices and actions from there. So I never thought I was going to be a podcaster. It the first like go of it, and man, I was so stressed. It took me forever, like just to even set up my equipment. I didn't even know, like I was awkward. I'm not technology savvy, so I feel like it took me a little while to get that groove. And now it's, you know, I'm over 100 episodes, and I 2 years in, it's like, okay, at least I got my equipment down, and I have some, you know, loyal following that they continue to encourage me. And they are vulnerable and they share what they're learning or what has changed in their life as a result of them doing and being more. So it's kind of fun.
Outstanding,
Yeah.
outstanding. Look, hey, what can I say?
I
Look,
know. How did you get into yours?
like, how did I get into podcasts? Look, basically, one of the things people often tell you when you're young, they go, yeah, enjoy life while you can when you're young, because yeah, things change when you get older. And the normal young person reaction is, yeah, right, whatever. But like one of the things, like looking at when you go out in your sort of late teens, early 20s, you go, we are Legion. And like you turn and you get this, ah, oh, big roar, and off you go. Like in your sort of mid 20s, early 30s, you go, we are Legion. It's like the roar is not as loud as once was, but no, you still get a roar. When you get into your like your early 30s, you go, we are Legion. And it's like the roar is definitely not there. It's like, you're like, yeah. It's like, yeah, we're just a crack unit right now. Yeah, we're like, you go right now, we are Legion. When you're in your early 40s, it's like, yeah, we're just
You're
like,
like,
yeah, just a crack unit of three or four guys. Yeah. But the whole thing is, as each sort of 5, 10 years go by, as you're like your social group gets smaller and smaller,
Yeah.
you miss out on opportunities to speak, to interact with new people. Because like you go, right, if you ask me like what you're gonna do on a Friday, Saturday night, oh, I'm gonna go out, do this, I'm gonna hold here, this, that. So you're meeting new people, you're having conversations with new people. People might challenge some of the things and ideas you have. So you're like,
Yeah.
oh, great, awesome. But each 5, 10 years, that realm, like that opportunity to grow, those conversations start to fade more and more. And then you become set in your ways, as they say. It's just a
Yeah.
case of you just don't have the opportunities to have these conversations. So that's why you get set in your ways, is because you're only having conversations with about 3 or 4 people you might see on a regular like basis. So this is one of the reasons why I started the podcast. Like, yes, I first started out like, yeah, doing some self-reflections and everything like this. Got to around about the episode, ooh, 6 or so. I was like, oh, no, I cannot just do this myself. Like, so I started out interviewing people, and yeah, fortunately I've been able to speak to a number of people across the world, going through a myriad of life experiences, like from cancer survivors to epic like explorers to people who started like nonprofits to help animals, like to like yeah people I would never normally would speak to. And it's
Yeah.
given me the opportunity to have these conversations, and yeah, keep me growing as a person and an individual, still have an open mind, and yeah, look forward to learning on like on a day-to-day weekly basis through like these conversations. Yeah, which I have the lovely joy and benefit to have this conversation with you today, you know?
Likewise, I love it. It's so much fun. I'm glad you're doing it. And I really appreciate you having me on the show too. It's cool.
Yes. Oh, you most kind. One last question before you go.
Yeah.
Where would you like your journey to go in the next 3 to 5 years?
So I am very passionate about this idea of everyone sharing their heart value and connecting on an energetic and emotional level. So I want to go and travel and speak on the, across the world.
Ooh.
And so speaking and interacting with different cultures and walks of life and just seeing how together we can all help bring joy and elevate each other's frequency, that excites me. I also love, going to retreats. Like, there's different retreat centers I've experienced in the US. I know the UK has some awesome ones too that I've looked at, but they're a little too pricey for me right now. But I love going and just helping people, I think healing work, so much of it is again going inward and figuring out, what feels off inside of us or where is that dis-ease in us that sort of we can remedy, or we can take action or take steps to sort of help resolve or bring to the surface so that we can release it. And so I'll also look to hold retreats at these different centers. Because again, I think when you connect with your heart, and you listen to your whole being, right? Body, mind, spirit, energy, everything, the answers for our best life are inside of us. And if we listen, we can fine-tune all of the choices and the actions that we can take so that we can reach our highest good, whatever that is and whatever that means for us as individuals. So I just want to keep sharing that message and sharing that light and then meeting all these cool people along the way. So that's my next 3 to 5 years.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
Yes, like this is the thing. I'm sure, like, well, let's just say, oh, on this journey, on this epic journey you're going to take, let's just say you've got a companion, that's not going, yeah, who will come along
No.
every night now and then and go, hello.
I like it.
Excellent, excellent. Oh, I've got to say, Mary, thank you for coming on the episode today. You have been a superstar, a scholar, like yeah, an all-around brilliant person. Hey.
Likewise, I'm totally enjoying all you're doing. And I love that your name means the bringing joy. I love it. So the bringer of joy.
Hey, what can I say? Working on it bit by bit. Can you tell the lovely people out there how they can find you so they can get connected?
Yeah. So my social handles are Mary Tess Rooney. And that's my website too. So marytessrooney.com. And if you have any questions or you have any feedback, you can always email me at marytess@truestride.com. And my podcast is True Stride. So, you know, my hope is that each of you connect more deeply with your heart value and you align with your true stride. And then, you know, I can't wait to hear about it because I'll be there to cheer you on.
Outstanding. Yes. Go out there, my friends, my life warriors. Get on her podcast, get download them, listen. Yeah, go to her website and yeah, see what you can do. See what you can be. Do more, be more, I say, my friends, my life warriors. I'd like to say thank you for sticking with us to the end of the show. Yes, please stay well, stay safe, be awesome, be excellent, be fantastic. Be all the things you can be in this world and then some. Peace.
Do it.
Yeah, like and we are.